Good morning, Overflow. Good morning. Good morning. If we could be seated, I know there's a lot of excitement because of all that is going on, especially God is really using Overflow in a very, very powerful way to be able to advance his kingdom in the earth. And we're so grateful for the ministry of this church, local assembly, that is doing some awesome and amazing things. And we know the best is yet to come as we move into our new facility, and that God is going to continue to expand his work through the efforts of his people that are working on his behalf. I'm so grateful for my brother and friend, Pastor Elijah, who God speaks to, and that he listens to God and the voice of God, and always tries to figure out a way to continue to expand God's work in this community. As we talk about the kingdom of God, this is a wonderful segue into this series, that is known as the Stories of Jesus. The whole purpose of this message is really to help us to understand how Jesus used stories, in particular, the stories that he used, what ancients call parables. These are actually tools to give a person imagery, analogy of what a deeper meaning is trying to convey. And so Jesus used parables a lot as a means to be able to help his people, his audience in particular, understand a larger message that he wanted them to understand. And for this particular message, we are looking at a particular parable known as the parable of the yeast. The parable of the yeast. And this is found in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 33. And I do see it up on the screen. Hallelujah. All right, Matthew 13, verse number 33 reads, "Then Jesus told them another story. God's kingdom is like yeast that a woman mixes into a big bowl of flour to make bread. The yeast makes all the dough, rise." Now, I have the privilege of preaching the shortest parable in the New Testament. Pastor Elijah had the privilege of preaching probably the longest parable last week in the Bible. But what I love about this parable is that Jesus uses something that is so simple, so minute, something that was everyday, everyone could understand and relate to as a means of conveying a particular message. And that was the whole purpose of a parable. If you were to read remaining verses outside of 33, the three verses following that, you will see that Matthew notes that Jesus often used parables as a way to convey a deeper meaning. Jesus knew his audience. He knew his audience sometimes did not know and understood what he was discussing and talking about. Because the topics and the themes and the subjects Jesus was addressing was so foreign to his audience, he used parables as a means to help them to understand. And even if it was a subject or a topic that they had heard of before, a lot of times it was explained in a totally different way or in a very limited and narrow view, or in a view in which, especially a lot of times the teachers of the law, they would teach things a certain way so that people could see it from their vantage point, but wouldn't give them the total picture of what God was trying to do. And so most people came into a lot of what Jesus was teaching with open eyes and open ears, but not fully understanding everything in totality of what Jesus was trying to say. And so Jesus would often use parables as a means, as a way to be able to give ordinary, everyday examples to explain extraordinary truths. And so in the case of the parable of yeast, Jesus uses this simple analogy as an imagery to show and explain the transformative power of the kingdom of God. Jesus used this simple parable to help people understand the nature, the essence of the kingdom, the purpose of the kingdom, how we operate in the kingdom, our role and responsibilities in the kingdom. Now, of course, when most people heard about kingdoms, they thought of a physical, literal, visible reign where a king sits up top, they have subjects and an army. That was what they imagined. Israel in particular, when they thought of the beginnings of a kingdom, they were thinking of that a Messiah would come and reign on Mount Zion and establish Israel as this nation that all the world will see, and they can look back at everybody else and say, see who's laughing now. But that wasn't the kingdom that Jesus was bringing forth to the people. The view of the kingdom that Jesus was bringing to the people was a kingdom that was invisible. Something that human hands could not touch. Something that human eyes could not see. But yet the weight and the might of the kingdom was so powerful and so awesome and so consuming and so powerful that it would transform the course of human history. The kingdom of God that Jesus was talking about, even though you couldn't see it and you couldn't touch it, what was so phenomenal and life-changing and life-altering that it can change the course of our individual destinies. That's the kingdom that Jesus is talking about. And so for this particular parable, the parable of the yeast, Jesus says this. He says that the kingdom of God is like a woman who takes yeast. And I was so glad I had a young lady come to me after first service, and she said to me, you know, there's two types of yeast, right? I was like, yeah, no, you're right. That's right. There's two types of yeast. Yeah, you're right. Inactive and active yeast. And Jesus is using, and for this particular example, even though he doesn't say active, he's really referring to active yeast. That when it is mixed and stirred into a bowl of dough and water, it makes bread rise. Now, I know for some of you, you're like, Drew, I did not come here to get a lesson on Bakery 101. I get it. I understand, right? I know this isn't culinary school. But this is a very important lesson for us to understand, because what Jesus is doing is using this everyday imagery to help us to understand a larger meaning of how we are to act in the kingdom of God and our responsibility of advancing the kingdom of God in the earth. And so as a result of that, as a result of this simple parable of the yeast, of active yeast, there are three principles that I want you to kind of understand and draw from this parable. Three principles that I think will help us as believers understand our roles and responsibility in being stewards of God's resources and in advancing his kingdom according to his call on our lives. The first principle is this: yeast works from within. Yeast works from within. Now, what does this mean? Yeast is an ingredient that is activated when it is mixed in and stirred in with other ingredients. Yeast is useless if it's not mixed in with other ingredients. Let me say that again for those of you in the back who didn't hear. Yeast is useless if it's not actively mixed in with other ingredients. It becomes ineffective. It becomes a waste. It becomes unproductive. And it is something that should be thrown out and discarded out of your cabinets if you are not using it with other ingredients. The larger message of this principle is that if we who are believers are not actively engaged in advancing God's kingdom, we become useless to God. If we as believers think that it's okay to be a spectator instead of playing in the game, then we are no use to God. God is not just calling us to gather together just on Sunday mornings for worship and prayer. Just think about it. If the early church, all they did was to gather together on Sunday mornings, you and I wouldn't be here. But true ministry begins once we leave these four walls and we go out into a dying world. The only way that we can change society, the only way that we can transform the world through the power of the Holy Spirit is if we get engaged in it. The only way that we can change the city, Sharon, you know this firsthand, is if you work firsthand in city council wanting to change how people think and do. It's so easy. You got so many people who say, well, you know, I ain't going to do any of that stuff. Okay, but you stay on the sidelines and you criticize all the time. How is change going to happen if you are sitting on the sidelines always criticizing? God is calling each of us with the extraordinary gifts that he has called each of us to do, to use those gifts in whatever sphere that he's called us to work in so that we could change those around us. See, this is the reason why monasticism doesn't work. How many of you have heard of monasticism before? Monasticism refers to, you've heard of monks, right? You've heard of nuns and monks. These are individuals who withdraw from society. They withdraw from the world. They withdraw from people, and they gather themselves into a community, and they say, we're going to just practice certain spiritual disciplines, fasting and prayer and reading God's word and meditation, and we're going to do this every single day. And they completely withdraw themselves from the rest of society. But if you do that, how will society change? How will the world change? How will a dying world come to know who Christ is? God is calling each of us to be like yeast, to work within society, to change it for his glory. Second principle, the second principle of yeast is that yeast is invisible. When you look at bread, you don't say to yourself, oh, there's yeast right here. Oh, I see it. Hey, yeast, how you doing? It's indetectable. Yeast is not drawing attention to itself. Look at here, bread. Look, you wouldn't be bread if it weren't for me. Right? That's what God wants out of us. God wants us to work in such a powerful way that people will say, my God, I didn't even know all of this was happening. But look at the transformation and the change. It doesn't take a fanfare. It doesn't take a marketing campaign. It doesn't take us trying to get people to see the works that we do so people can applaud us and say, that a boy, you did a good job. It's not about whether or not Pastor Elijah calls our name over the podium or whether or not our names are printed in Herald Palladium or if we receive this big award. It's all about his glory and the edification of his kingdom. Dallas Willard said something so powerful in his seminal work, The Divine Conspiracy, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of what's happening externally, but it's a spiritual reality coming forth within the fabric of ordinary lives. Which simply means this, that God's kingdom is working within us, and it's not a matter of us, and it's not a matter of whether or not people see us and people recognize us, because at the end of the day, it's all about Christ. Everything we say and do is for the benefit and the glory of God. We're in politics because of the glory of God. We're a whirlpool because of the glory of God. We're working in nonprofit organizations because of the glory of God. We're working at Overflow because of the glory of God. Everything that we do is for his glory so people can see him through us. There's the last principle. The last principle of yeast is that yeast spreads. Yeast spreads. It only takes a small drop of yeast to impact an entire loaf of bread. You only need a small teaspoon of yeast to make an entire loaf of bread rise. It only takes a small amount of love, a small amount of compassion, a small amount of joy to transform a person's life. When we look at the early church, here it is, a small group of uneducated, outside of Paul and a couple of others, individuals weren't politically connected, didn't have any high social standing, weren't considered to be a part of societal elites. They just went about doing good like their master. They committed themselves to advancing the kingdom, not in a loud way that would draw attention to themselves, but in a way that it would point people to Christ. So when people needed food, they fed them. When people needed clothes, they provided clothes to them. When people needed healing, they provided healing. Whatever their needs were, they cared for them. They didn't have social media. They weren't broadcasting it to the world so that everybody can applaud them for the good they were doing. They did it for one singular purpose, to share the love of Jesus. And man, by the time we get to Acts 17, they said, these are the people who have turned the world upside down. It doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take for you to have to push or promote, because the good that you do, God will honor it because you are putting him first. Here's what God requires out of us. Here's what Jesus requires out of us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we have it on the screen, starting at verse number 14. Jesus tells us, you are the light of the world. I have called you to let your light shine so people can see you, but they don't see you. It's not about you or me. Because when people see you or me, they should see Christ. Let your light shine so others can see it by the way you live, by the way you talk, by the way you act, by the way you conduct yourselves, by the way you speak, by the relationships you build, by the way you work, by the way you play. And they will glorify your Father in heaven. N.T. Wright says this, is surprised by hope, that the kingdom of God is God's sovereign rule on the earth, like in heaven, and that those who follow Jesus anticipate and embodies this rule in their lives. Meaning, we spread. We spread the love of Jesus. We spread the compassion of Jesus. We spread the joy of Jesus. We spread the peace of Jesus. We spread Jesus everywhere we go. It emanates out of us. It's like if you eat garlic and people don't want to be around you because you smell like garlic. It emanates from you. Jesus should emanate from us in such a profound way that people don't have to know that we are based on our words, that we are Jesus freaks. They know it already, because when they see us, it oozes out of us. That's the power of this parable. That's the power that Jesus wants us to embrace. That we are lights unto this world. That we are examples of his goodness and his glory. And we can show forth this goodness in so many ways that the world will never, ever be the same. Here's this one thing that I want you to remember from the parable of the yeast is this. That God has called each of us, those who are part of this sacred community, the Communio Sanctorum, to embrace and embody his rule in the earth, that he reigns in our hearts, he reigns in our minds, that he has full and complete control over our bodies. And therein lies the issue. For many of us, we're double agents. We live one way in front of folks who are saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Spirit. And we live another way among our friends and our families and our coworkers. Right? Am I speaking the truth? Is this resonating with somebody? Right? On Sunday, we are lifting up holy hands and hallelujah, glory to God. But on Monday, right, we're cussing them out. We're telling people, you know, you ain't no good and dragging them down and tearing them down. On Sunday, we want to, you know, serve with our hands and do good. And we're greeting everybody, telling them that Jesus loves you. But then on Monday, we're dragging them down and elevating ourselves so we can get a raise and a promotion. God wants all of us. He wants all of our hearts. He doesn't want us to compartmentalize that we give him this on Sundays and then we give that we keep the rest of our of everything else for ourselves. He wants all of us. Because in doing so, we will be effective yeast in the earth. And just like yeast, through us, the kingdom will rise. Father, we're so grateful for this word. We're so grateful for your Holy Spirit who reveals himself in so many pronounced and powerful ways. Your Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us and nurtures us and helps us to see our role and responsibility in this earth. And we pray, God, that as we continue to steward the resources that you have given us as a church for your glory, I pray, Lord, that we would never lose sight of you, that we would never lose sight that in the midst of bounce houses and everything else, that all of this is for your glory. So kids can come to know you better. So adults can come to know you better. So your kingdom will be advanced in the lives of people in this community that will change them forever. In Jesus' mighty and holy name.